Rod Walker, a member of Christ Church, and I'm going to bring you this reading from Genesis chapter 3, where he explains where in the beginning everything has gone wrong with the world. Genesis 3, verse 8. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree from which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The snake deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the snake, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." To the woman he said, "I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." To Adam he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return." Thanks be to God for this reading.
Thank you, Rod, very much indeed. Let me just read one verse from that reading in Genesis 3, verse 17. "Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat food from it all the days of your life." Well, if you were to pick one word that sums up the last few months, complicated wouldn't be a bad word. Staff shortages, travel restrictions, PCR tests, COVID isolations, test and trace, delivery problems, party cancellations. It's been a complicated time. Just today, I was in touch with a good friend of mine who might be watching online, who after 96 weeks of waiting for an operation on his son's ear, decided that was enough. He decided to go private to get the condition sorted out because it was affecting his son's hearing, and was due yesterday to have the operation when, sure enough, there was a staff shortage and the operation couldn't go ahead. One of their other sons is due to have his teeth out on Tuesday, except today he's tested positive for COVID, which means that their Christmas plans with their aging grandparents are now not possible. I know of other families that aren't able to see elderly relatives. I heard of someone that drove 60 miles on a round trip to get their booster jab only to be turned away. There's a lot of complication in the world right now. As Avril Lavigne put it, "Why do you have to make life so complicated?" Well, we'll all have our own COVID stories from the last few weeks and months. And for some, there'll be stories of frustration. For others, there'll be stories of exasperation. And tragically, for some, there'll even be stories of devastation. The last 2 years have been complicated, and it doesn't look to get any simpler in the next few weeks. While we hope that Christmas won't be cancelled Oliver Cromwell style, we have been asked to restrict contact and keep it to a minimum, and there is still a bit of uncertainty hanging over the new year about what will be permitted. So well done, all of you, for making it here this evening and for getting through the complications. But actually, that first reading from the Bible tells us that it's always been a complicated world. It's always been a complicated world, and that's the first of our 3 points this evening, a complicated world. Here at Christchurch Huntingdon, we try to work through the Bible and trying to listen to what it says, not taking things out of context, but understanding what the Bible is saying to us today. And we've recently finished a series in Genesis chapters 1 to 4, and we discovered that these chapters make so much sense of life. If you'd like to go back over our YouTube channel or back to our website, you'll hear all the recordings of our sermons if you'd like to catch up where we left off. Genesis introduces us to a God in all his glory, a creation in all its complexity, a humanity in all its dignity. But tragically, it also speaks of the fact that we as humanity have turned our back on God and that we have rejected him. And that has brought many fractures into this world. We've chosen to reject God's rule, steal his throne, and three fundamental relationships have been broken. Our relationship upwards with God has been fractured. Our relationship, as it were, horizontally with one another has been broken. And even our relationship downwards to the world and to the earth and to the creation has been put out of sync so that viruses and diseases and suffering has come into the world. We read in this chapter of a curse on the snake and a curse on the ground. So Genesis 3 actually explains this complicated world. For all its frustrations, there are thorns and thistles in verse 18, which explain why our work life is so complicated and so difficult. If you've got work life, if you're struggling with your work life balance, or if there are office politics, or if the tech in your office keeps breaking down, there's a reason for these frustrations, those exasperations as well, but perhaps particularly in our relationships, blame and shame come into the world right back here. And this is all explained. Maybe if I was to ask you how your relationships or even your love life is doing right now, you might say, it's complicated. Frustrations, devastations, devastations. Death has come into this world like a cold shadow. And just in England and Wales alone this year, there'll be 500,000 empty seats at the Christmas table, because of people who've lost their lives this year. Even members of our church over the last week have been to funeral services of loved ones. It is a complicated world. But it's a complicated world because we're living in God's world and we've decided to turn our back on him. But here is the wonder of the Christmas message. And it's that into this complicated world, God came in the form of his son. It was to reverse the curse that Jesus came. In fact, it's even predicted in this passage as early on as the third chapter of the Bible that there would be a serpent crusher who's going to come and who's going to put the wrongs right. There's a promise here. We'll come back to this actually in one of our later carols. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He, that is an offspring of the human race, offspring of Adam and Eve, will crush your head. Satan, the great enemy, will be dealt a final blow, even though this offspring will be hurt in the process. Well, there's a little hint there of more to come. But if now I could invite the choir up, they're going to sing to us a beautiful carol which speaks of the wonder of Christmas. Oh, hush the noise, ye men of strife, and hear the angels sing.
We've got our second reading now. Hello, my name's Katie. I've lived in Huntingdon for 3.5 years, and I work in the construction industry. Our second reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 to 23. And in this reading, an angel appears to Joseph to explain the significance of Mary's unexpected pregnancy. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Katie, very much indeed for that reading. We've been thinking about a complicated world, and we're moving on to think now about a complicated arrival. If you think your Christmas is complicated, think about the first Christmas. And it begins with the announcement of a virgin birth. Verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Gentlemen, just think for a moment about this rather delicate situation where Joseph is talking to his girlfriend, his fiancée, and she says, "I'm pregnant." I would say it would have been a rather complicated time for him. He knows that it's not his baby. He's a righteous man. He resolves to break off the engagement, which was already a formality in those days. And he must have been gutted. But in the night, God reassures him through an angel that this baby is from God. But Joseph's complications have only now just got more complicated. Imagine him down with his friends at the Carpenter's Arms, explaining to his mates that his fiancée is having a baby and it's come from God. "Yeah, right," they say. But that wasn't the end of the complexities for Mary and Joseph. Can you imagine when the breaking news starts coming in on their news feeds that there's going to be a census and everyone needs to go to their original town of origin? And when is the census scheduled? Exactly their due date. Can you imagine the look on Mary's face, heavily pregnant, when she's told that she's got to travel 90 miles through the mountains to get to, yes, Bethlehem? Google Maps told me this week that that's 31 hours of walking. And if they did go on a donkey, I guess a donkey doesn't go much faster than how Google Maps paces a journey on foot. So 31 hours to get from Nazareth to Bethlehem. But it's not over, because when they get there, and picture the scene, perhaps her waters are breaking or the contractions are starting, there's no room in any guest house. Can you imagine the desperation on Joseph's face as he's knocking on doors, just frantically trying to get somewhere? And remember, there's no anesthetics, no midwives, no hospital bed. And we're so used from our Christmas cards to see pictures of a manger. But a manger is an animal feeding trough. Young mums, can you imagine giving birth to your firstborn and laying them in an animal's feeding trough? One friend of ours gave birth in the entranceway of Adam Brooks Hospital. At least she made it, though, to the rosy maternity and was roughly in the right place. But Mary was completely away from any natural comfort zones, although I'm told that it's pretty tricky giving birth, whatever the circumstances. But once Jesus was born, it wasn't over. Then there was a sudden rush to leave Bethlehem before Herod's bloodthirsty soldiers came rushing in. And then there was the flight to Egypt. The family of Joseph and Mary and Jesus having to divert hundreds of miles to get out of Herod's way. Maybe your Christmas travel plans have been diverted or changed this year. Well, it was the same that first Christmas. But you see, actually, it was all part of God's plan. As Katie just read then, the virgin birth and all that followed was to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. Matthew uses that phrase again and again. What he's saying is that, yes, it looks complicated, and it was complicated, but it was planned this way. God loves, in a sense, to make things more complicated in order to show that he's in control, to work out his purposes and his promises. Actually, that is really helpful if this evening, whether you're watching online or you're sitting here in person, you're a bit of a skeptic this evening, and you think, virgin births, baby in a manger, it's all a little bit make-believe, isn't it? But actually, it's very helpful to see that in the Old Testament, hundreds of years before, all sorts of things were prophesied and predicted about this baby, and Jesus fulfilled every single one of them. Let me just give you one example. It was promised 700 years before Christ, through the prophet Micah, that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. His mother, though, was living at the time in Nazareth. So God organized a census across the whole of the Roman Empire to get Jesus born in the right place in fulfillment of scriptures hundreds of years beforehand, even with 31 hours of travel through the hills to get there. If Christmas feels complicated this year, perhaps because you won't see loved ones or because your plans have had to change, or perhaps maybe you've got your own baby complexities or family complexities of your own, remember this complicated arrival. God delights in using complexities to bring about his plans. We have a God who understands complexity, a God who breaks into the complexity and uses them and fulfills them to get his people and his purposes exactly where he wants them. We've already sung already this evening, "He was little, weak and helpless, tears and smiles like us he knew. And he feeleth for our sadness, and he shareth in our gladness." That is old English for saying that Jesus knows joy and Jesus knows sorrow. He understands and he sympathizes. He has broken into this complicated world in a complicated and yet predicted, down to the very last details, arrival. But here's the great thing. He didn't just come to sympathize. He came to do so much more. And we're going to think about that in just a moment. But first, let's sing "O Little Town of Bethlehem."
I'm Georgia, and I'm part of CCH Youth Group, and I also play the cello, sometimes in the church band. I'm going to be reading from Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to 20, where we come to Bethlehem with the shepherds to see the baby in the manger. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favour rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Georgia, very much indeed. So we've seen a complicated world, which Jesus came into through a complicated arrival. But why did he do it? Why did he do it? Well, we've already seen a hint at the reason, in that complexity is already as often part of God's plan for this world. The virgin birth, the Bethlehem birth, the Messiah's birth were all predicted by the prophets hundreds of years before. God promising something complicated and then making it happen, proving that he is God and that he's working out his purposes. But the real reason why Jesus came into this world is very simple. We've thought about a complicated world. The reason why this world is so complicated, the reason why there is such suffering and difficulties and even disease is because of our rebellion against God. But Jesus came down into this world for a very uncomplicated reason, and that was his love for us. After all, why do you get involved in the messiness and complexity of other people's lives except love? Why do you spend hours wrapping up those gifts, finding the end of the sellotape, which has its own complexities in life, I find? Why do you spend hours driving to that particular place to get that particular gift for that particular person? Why do you go to all that trouble and spend all those savings to get those particular things? Well, it's because you love them. There's a beautiful detail in this story from Luke. And remember that Luke researches everything very carefully from the start. If you'd like a copy of Luke's gospel, if you haven't got a Bible at home, do have a word with me on the way out. I'd love to give you one. And there's a little detail there in verse 11. I wonder if you spotted it when Georgia read it out. "Today in the town of David, a saviour has been born to you." Hang on, this is the angels speaking to the shepherds. The shepherds were in many ways, the sort of marginalised of society. And yet this message is for them. This baby is born not just for Mary and Joseph, not just for the high and mighty wise men from far away. He's for the shepherds. He's for the marginalised of society. "Today in the town of David, a saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." And Jesus isn't just for everyone else. He's not just for religious people. He's for you, whoever you are and whoever you are watching this evening. Jesus didn't come into this complicated world just to sympathise. He came to save. "Today in the town of David, a saviour has been born to you." The long-promised Son of God came into this complicated world that is riddled with cancer, COVID, and climate change because he came to save it. Rather than coming into this world to condemn us and give us what we deserve, Jesus came into this world full of love to rescue us and to bring us back into relationship with him, mending that broken relationship which went wrong at the beginning. No wonder the angels burst into praise, singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." This is a complicated world, but it is a loved world. There's a beautiful carol which we're going to sing on Boxing Day next Sunday. And the words are slightly old-fashioned, but I think you get the gist of them. Thou who art God beyond all praising, all for love's sake becamest man. God became man, stooping so low, but sinners raising heavenwards by thine eternal plan. Thou who art God beyond all praising, all for love's sake became man. Why did he get involved in this complicated world when it should have been left to its own devices? He did it because he loves me and he loves you. Have you discovered that when life gets more complicated, fuses get shorter and expectations change and tempers fray and we just get a little bit more irritable? Maybe that's just me. And then blame and shame come just like they did in the Garden of Eden. See, the Bible tells us that we are all guilty. We are the reason for this broken world. But that didn't put Jesus off from coming into this world. Those things which we're ashamed of don't disqualify us from being, from him reaching out to us. As we heard this morning, God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Jesus didn't come for good people because there weren't any. He came for bad people, and he reaches down to us and he reaches out to us and he says, will you receive me into your life? And so the question which each one of us needs to respond to this Christmas is, how will we treat Jesus? He didn't stay a baby. His life was filled with all sorts of other complexities as he grew up into a man who faced opposition and betrayal and arrest and even death. But it was through that death, all again in complete fulfillment of the scriptures, that God's plan would be worked out for him to die on a cross in our place, to take our wrongdoing onto his back, so that he might give us his perfect account in a complete substitution. It was because of love that Jesus reached down into this world. And so the question to us is, how will we respond? What will we do with Jesus? Maybe all of this is very new to you. And in a moment, we're going to show you a short video clip about a course that we're running in the new year called Hope Explored. And you might like to come along to that and ask all the difficult questions that are buzzing around in your mind at the moment. Maybe that you've decided, well, I love the carols, I love Christmas, but I can't believe that this is true. And if that is you, I'd challenge you to look at the Bible and see how perfectly the Old Testament and the New Testament fit together, and see how, with pinpoint accuracy, we see Jesus coming into the world. Please don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. But for others, you've already started to follow Jesus, and this Christmas you're rejoicing afresh that nothing is too complicated for Jesus the Saviour. But if there's someone here this evening who knows that for the first time they need to receive Jesus into their life, well, it's as easy as A, B, C, D. We need to admit that we've rebelled against God, that we're the reason for this complicated world. We need to B, believe that Jesus is this King sent from heaven to be our Saviour. We need to C, consider the cost, because life will have to change in many areas when we put Jesus in charge of our lives. And D, we need to do something. Maybe even this evening, you might ask Jesus into your life to receive him as the greatest gift that we can possibly receive. Admit, believe, consider the cost, and do something. A complicated world, a complicated arrival, but a very uncomplicated reason. He came because he loves us. He loves me, he loves you. And whatever you've done, and however messed up your life may be, he's come for you. And that's what this next song is all about. So I'm going to invite the band to come forwards Please listen in as we listen to a beautiful contemporary song about Christmas.